Welcome back to the Nerd Podcast. That's Never Any Retro Dialogue. I'm Jordan.
I'm Doug.
And would you like to introduce our special
guest?
Well,
yes, we are joined once again by our friend Travis. I think it's safe to say he's a friend of the show. Yeah.
I like being a friend of the show.
Yeah.
I appreciate you guys having me back. I'll be here anytime you want me to be.
I think anytime we talk movies, we have to have you on now. I think it's a
prerequisite.
There we go.
Yeah, it's cool.
We have to do it.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm down.
So we kind of already teased this in our end of the month that we were going to be recording this, and I've already gotten some feedback.
Is that good or bad?
Of, yeah, I don't like him either. Because the running joke is a buddy of mine, Biederman, hates Nick Cage.
Why?
I don't know. Well, I'm sure he'll let us know. But Weldy texted me and said, I'm with Biederman. I can't stand him. And I'm like, and so I said, but he's a national treasure.
You did not.
Yes, I did.
That's strange to, I could see how, look, it's easy for someone to say, boy, he's done a lot of crap, or he's, you know, I only like 50% of his stuff, but to just say I just don't like Nicholas, that's strange.
Yeah.
It's almost like he's done so many movies that you could say there's a movie for everybody. There's at least one in there for
everybody. I would agree. No, well, he did admit, though, he likes the National Treasure movies. Those were pretty good. So I think you are right that there is a movie. The dude has literally done, what was the number? 120.
I texted, yeah, it was, when. Well, okay. Now, when I texted you a month ago, it was only 118.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah,
it's up to 120.
Yeah.
And he has 7 in production.
Of course he does.
So, he is.
Well, when I suggested it to you, or I asked you, had you guys thought about doing like a Nicolas Cage episode, and you said that you had, and we kind of thought like, I don't even know how you talk. It's, how do you go about talking about them? So there's 120 movies. Like, do you talk about them in time periods? Do you talk about them in terms of quality? Do you talk about them in tiers of quality?
But, and I think as we were looking through the IMDb last night and this morning, they almost kind of align. Like, the really crappy ones are right there in the middle, where it's just schlock, Left Behind and Season of the Witch.
I almost had trouble like identifying when I was going back and just saying, all right, if I'm gonna go talk about this, I want to like figure out what period was his best, and I really couldn't. At first, it took me a minute, because just about any 10-year or 8-year or 5-year period you pick, there's something great in there, and there's something terrible in there. So I kind of like, I wrote out my initial thoughts, and I said that like, this was just my personal opinion, and you can disagree with me if you want. I'm curious what you guys think. But I said that objectively, to the extent that that term can be applied to him, his best work, I think, was from 92 to 2002. All right, so that period includes Leaving Las Vegas, Adaptation, and Face Off. Okay, but it also includes Trapped in Paradise, Kiss of Death, Deadfall. So, there we have the microcosm of the confounding, fascinating career that he's had.
Exactly. It's.
But I had a friend the other day say that he thinks recently Nicolas Cage has done his best work. He thinks over the past 5-6 years, when we're talking about Pig.
Well, and then argument could be made for that. But now I've not watched a lot of the newer stuff. I've watched Pig. I've watched Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. I watched Dream Scenario last night. But I also haven't watched, there's one he did called Sympathy for the Devil.
Yeah.
The Arcadian was done fairly recently.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we have Long Legs that's still out in theaters, which, from everything I've heard, is a great film, and his performance is fantastic.
It is.
But, yeah, I would have to say my favorite's probably close to your range. I love The Rock. The Rock and Con Air and Face Off all came out around the same time. But I think, for me, The Rock is the best of the three. That's just, and maybe it's because Sean Connery's in it and whatnot. Ed Harris, it's got a great cast. Con Air's probably the one I want to watch least out of the three anymore.
Same.
I just don't care for it. Face Off is fun. John Travolta is really good in that too. This is really going to trigger people. When you go beyond that, and I recognize it's not a good movie. These next two movies I'm going to name are not good. I get it. But to me, they're like the iconic, fun Nicolas Cage movies. And that's Gone in 60 Seconds and Ghost Rider. I know Ghost Rider's terrible, but I love it. And Gone in 60 Seconds is just...
And again, those came out in that period.
Yeah. But
yeah.
But when someone says, you know, what's distinctive about Nick Cage? It's those movies, because he just, you know, especially in Ghost Rider, he just, you know, is just over the top.
Yeah, it's the eccentricities.
Yeah. Like in Dream Scenario, it was very muted. He had a couple of scenes where he got a little riled up, right? But he played this. Do you know the premise of Dream Scenario at all? Or
yes, only what I've seen from the trailer.
But he is playing such a lame, square, nerdy dude, and he does it so well. It was such a great performance, and you can see he gets more like a Nick Cage towards the end, but that's because the stress level that this character is going under, because he's a nobody, and then he becomes this, you know, phenom because he's in everyone's dreams. Hey, this is great. Now I'm not a nobody. And then you see, oh, well, wait, this isn't exactly what I wanted. And, you know, it's, of course, you know, we can dive deeper into the metaphors and what it's representing as far as fame and going viral and everything. It's not all it's cracked up to be, but it is, I don't know, it was a really good performance.
After watching Pig, I'm inclined to, I can see how I could get there eventually. I'd still want to see more of his most recent stuff. Trying to catch up is a daunting task. Because like you said, just since... Good God. How many movies? It's like he does two a year, if not three or four. Look at that. So jeez. So The Retirement Plan, Dream Scenario, Sympathy for the Devil, Renfield, The Old Way, all came out in 2023.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know when he shot them all. But that's when they all came out.
That's when they all came out. Renfield, by the way, was excellent,
too. Yes, it was.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I liked Renfield. I really liked Pig. That had that understated thing that you were talking about from Dream Scenario, almost to the point that it was clear that they were playing with how long... I mean, they made it feel as though the Cage Rage was eventually going to come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it ultimately never does. And... I don't think that the film was hurt by that. Yeah. I actually liked it quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he's sometimes better when he's understated. The best scene in that movie is when he's talking to the waiter who used to be... Or I'm sorry, the chef who used to be his... just like a line cook for him that he fired after
whatever.
A couple of months.
Yeah.
Like, that is the best scene in the whole movie, and, mm-hmm. and Cage literally doesn't... Nothing's over the top
in that
entire scene.
Now, Jordan, are you familiar with Pig?
I know a little bit about it, but I've never seen it.
So, this is the one thing I'll say about Pig. I ended up liking the movie. I was told, the way it was described to me was, it was John Wick, but with a pig. And I'm like,
that's not fair.
Correct. So
that is
a terrible way
to set that up.
When the pig, so the premise is he's out in the middle of nowhere and he has a pig who hunts for truffles. And then he sells these truffles to these ne'er-do-well looking dudes. And then someone comes and steals his pick and beats the crap out of him. And so at that point, that next morning, I am expecting him to just like...
To go John Wick.
Because I'm like, oh, he's about ready to just kick some. And he doesn't. And then I'm like, oh, it's going to happen right here. And then it doesn't. No. And then, so the whole movie, I'm waiting for him to go absolutely nuts and just start killing a bunch of people, and he didn't.
No. I'm like, is he gonna murder Adam Arkin here? Is this the scene where he burns down Adam Arkin's house? Like, what's he going to do?
Yeah, oh my gosh.
And none of it comes, but I didn't feel necessarily let down. I mean, maybe a tad, but the rest of the movie is executed so well that it's just so good.
Yeah, it's a very well-made movie. It
doesn't overstay its welcome.
No.
You know, it's pretty in and out. It was an hour and a half deal.
That's the one thing I'll say about a lot of his movies. And, of course, you know, a lot of them are the independent or low-budget ones. And so, like, Dream Scenario was an hour 40. And it's like, they could have drugged that out a lot longer if they wanted to. But I'll say this about the ending. I thought the ending was, like, so good based on the struggle, especially in the last third of the movie, and the way they ended it is just like, oh shit, you know, it's like, wow, that was really good. Nick Cage.
Yeah. Have either of you seen The Unbearable Weight of
the Heat?
Yes.
Is it good? I haven't seen it.
Yes.
Okay.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I forget if I bought it just digitally or if I bought it on Blu-ray with a code. Doesn't matter. So we watched it pretty quickly after that, and I think we've watched it at least one or two other times since. Because someone wasn't here when we watched it.
Yeah.
And it is just so fun. Pedro Pascal is just fantastic in it.
Is he?
And the fact that they're, you know, at one point, you know, they're discussing movies and... You're talking about some of these, you know, very poignant, important movies, especially early on in cinema, and then they bring up Paddington 2, and and there's Nicolas Cage crying as they're watching Paddington 2. And the way he just... I don't know if... I'm assuming he has a sense of humor about himself.
Oh, he clearly does.
He has, because...
Have you seen his appearance on Saturday Night Live?
I have not.
He goes on Saturday Night Live. Oh, it's brilliant. He goes on Weekend Update. And
with Andy Samberg?
Yes.
Yes, I have seen that. Yes.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
Super fun.
I thought it was like super recent. I'm like, oh no, I haven't seen him. So yeah, but no, it is. So he is clearly just running with them, poking fun at his persona.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't know. It was brilliant. I absolutely loved it.
What's the first Nicolas Cage movie you guys ever saw?
Oh my gosh.
Raising Arizona.
So you knew immediately.
I don't remember. Probably Con Air or... I don't know. I'm younger than you guys. So maybe National Treasure.
I was going to say, let the record show that Jordan is much younger than we are. So.
Well, so mine was Honeymoon in Vegas. And I think that was just by virtue of me being just a hair younger than you.
Yes.
But not by much. I could have easily seen... Now, and I liked it as a kid. Like, it's...
Yes.
You know,
it's a fun, goofy movie.
It's James Caan and Sarah Jessica Parker. I mean, it was fun. And he was funny in it.
Yes.
He can do drama. He can do comedy. Like, now I think after that was when I probably, I don't know what the next one would have been, but it wasn't too long after when I saw Red Rock West. And,
I've never seen that.
That you would love. That's a Doug movie. yeah, he's really good in Red Rock West. And that's kind of an action thriller mystery kind of thing. So
that's what's great, because if you look at his earlier movies, they're so diverse too.
Yeah.
When you look at them, because you've got you know, he had a bit part in Fast Times,
and then
he does the Coen Brothers Raising Arizona, which is just an absolute goofy movie, but it's amazing. It's still one of my favorite Coen Brother movies. But then he does something like, I was reading about Red Rock West and read about that, but then you've got Moonstruck in there with them, and Valley Girls in there, and then Vampire's Kiss.
Vampire's Kiss.
He's always been this way, where he's got all these different kinds of weird movies shoved together, because, you know, he'll... But that's how you have staying power, right? You do an artsy movie that you really want to do, like Leaving Las Vegas, but then...
Yep. Yeah, that's the perfect example of what he did. Yeah, so he... So 1995... Let's talk about 1995.
Let's talk. Let's do it.
Braveheart... All right. Braveheart was, I would say, the majority of critics, more than half, did like Braveheart. Braveheart was a generally well-received movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it was by no means, I don't know if people forget this or for people who are too young to remember and to the extent that they even care about this stuff, they probably don't. Braveheart was not not universally loved by critics. It just wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't even universally loved by audiences. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't even like a top 20 box office earner that year.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, there were two movies in 1995 that were universally just loved by critics. Two. And there were another three or four that were pretty close to that. And the first one was Sense and Sensibility, the Ang Lee, the adaptation of the Jane Austen piece, and then Leaving Las Vegas was the other one. Mm-hmm. Every critic who had a top 10 list of any kind had those two films on their list.
Yep.
And then after that, you kind of had Dead Man Walking and a couple of others, Toy Story, Apollo 13. Those were nearly universal. Braveheart wasn't even in the striking distance of those movies. So I say all this, you know, Nicolas Cage ended up winning Best Actor, as he should. And I don't, you know, that was the one sort of foregone conclusion, I think, that everyone knew. Like, you know, December of 95 ended, and everyone was, there was just no way around it. Mm-hmm. He gave the best performance, he was going to win. And it's not like he stumbled into it, okay?
Yeah.
There wasn't any competition that year. Anthony Hopkins was nominated for Nixon, and I mean, it wasn't, he didn't just stumble into that. And Braveheart was just, it wasn't even considered any kind of awards contender until, like, the Golden Globes, and it started. And so I was kind of a nerd on that stuff at the time, and I was following it, and I couldn't believe, I'm like, surely either Leaving Las Vegas or Sense and Sensibility is going to, like, win Best Picture. And then here's, you know, Mel Gibson's, you know, multi-million-dollar three-hour epic. Again, no problems with it. Good movie.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Nick Cage and Leaving Las Vegas made for less than $5 million.
Yeah.
Like, other than him and Elizabeth Shue being in it, every aspect of that movie was small.
Yeah.
I mean, they were shooting on 16mm film, no permits, running around the Las Vegas Strip, you know, shooting without permission. And, like, and meanwhile, Mel Gibson is... So, you know, those two films couldn't have been more opposite. And Nicolas Cage just... I mean, that is... I mean, of all the films I've seen, and I 30 or 40, I think, when I was trying to figure out how many I'd seen, that is my personal favorite, and it's clearly his best. I don't know what yours...
So,
and then he turns around, by the way, and then just does The Rock. Right after he wins the Academy Award, he does The Rock, to your point.
And that's how you do it. I will admit Leaving Las Vegas is probably his best movie. It is nowhere near my favorite. Only, I can't rewatch that movie. It's...
Oh, yeah, it's too hard. It's not an easy watch.
No, it's not.
No.
And so... I can recognize, like, I have my top 10 here, which I was having problems coming up with 10.
I couldn't do it. It's too hard.
and not because I couldn't think of 10 movies. It's all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait, no, that one I like too, or that one I like too. Because when we were first talking about this and we're like, oh, there's 118 movies, I immediately went to IMDb and it's like, how many have I watched? I think I originally told you 30, but then I went back through the other day and I'm like, no, I've seen 50 of these easily. Yeah, yeah. So I'm like, ooh, okay. I would have to say, I don't know that I could say what my favorite movie of his is. Because they all have that different feel, right? I've probably watched Gone in 60 Seconds or Ghost Rider the most out of all of them, followed by The Rock, just because those are ones that you can just you pop in and you just shut everything off and you just enjoy the ride, and there's nothing to it. I really enjoyed City of Angels, though, too. Mm-hmm. I thought that was, and there's one of your more heartfelt and just kind of, it's been a few years since I've watched, but I don't remember anything being over the top in that one.
No.
And that
was in that period. That was in that 92 to 2002.
Exactly. But a guilty pleasure of ours, too, and this is one we've probably watched a lot as a family, Sorcerer's Apprentice, which is right there in the middle of all the schlock, because I think that came out in 2010. It is a bad movie, I fully admit, but it's just so fun. It's just, you know, he's goofy. You got Alfred Molina. I mean, it's got a great cast. You got Alfred Molina, and you've got... oh, gosh. What's her name, Sharon? No, not the blonde. No. Monica Bellucci. There we go.
Oh,
Monica Bellucci.
She's not in that much.
And then you've got the young kid. What the heck's his name? Seth Rogen's friend.
Oh, Jay Baruchel, right?
Yeah, there we go. So, I mean, it's fun.
Yeah. It's hard to pick out. It almost feels like it's tough to pick out his best or your favorites, because you constantly feel like you're comparing apples to oranges in every single one of his roles.
Yeah. Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, I have in my top 10. I just liked it so much. I had Renfield. Bringing Out the Dead.
Yeah. Came in that 92 to 02 period.
Yeah. I mean, have you ever watched that one? Talk about a fever dream of a movie. And the thing I love about Bringing Out the Dead is, I completely forget it's a Scorsese movie.
Yeah, Scorsese.
Because, one, I'm not a huge Scorsese fan. He's hit and miss for me, and most of the time it's a miss. It's just not my thing. That one is just, it doesn't feel like a Scorsese movie. And you got John Goodman in it. You've got
Tom Sizemore.
Ving Rhames, I believe, is in that, if I remember correctly.
So
they're all paramedics. And Nick Cage just goes, it is a Nick Cage performance. He is Nick Cage. Nick Cage is Nick Cagiest.
Yeah. That Bringing Out the Dead was good. I mean, that period, was his most consistent, I think.
Yes. Although, around the same time, you have Snake Eyes and 8mm.
But I like Snake Eyes. That's
Snake
the thing.
Snake Eyes is fun. 8mm is a hard watch,
it
though,
is,
too.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's really just about the subject matter. But Snake Eyes is fun.
Yeah, I love Snake Eyes. I love anything De Palma.
Yeah.
But of his later stuff, you know, the stuff I did see that I did enjoy were Mandy.
Mandy's great. That's in my top 10, yeah.
Mom and Dad.
Have you watched that? I just watched the trailer for that today. I forgot it even existed. That looks like a blast.
You get your Cage Rage in there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... Yeah, and Selma Blair is perfect to playing Mom. I think you should watch. I think you'd dig it. What I noticed, you know, going through, you know, IMDb and going through the ones I saw, I noticed that they're constantly rated, you know, star-wise. They're always rated just a smidge below the way I think that they are. It seems like most of them, I think, are better than what other people think.
Agreed. I saw a lot of this is a 6.2 or this is a 5.5 or this, and I'm like, well, that one's good. I was even shocked at Moonstruck was on IMDb. I think it was like a 7.1 or something like that, and I'm like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't able to put together a list of 10, but I can tell you that Leaving Las Vegas and Face Off are probably just my personal probably favorites of his. The Rock, of course, but Face Off, Face Off, I always felt was one of those rare occurrences where two of the year's kind of best lead performances actually happen to come in the same movie.
Yes.
That doesn't happen real very often. That was a really good, I mean, the way that they had to kind of, they didn't get long in the beginning of the movie to establish what their bad guy and good guy roles are before they hand it off for the rest of the movie to the other person.
Yeah.
And they do a fantastic job of doing that. It was, I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah.
That was really good.
You've seen Face Off, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It kind of freaked me out as a kid, though, because...
yeah, it did.
Face cut off and put on something else.
I remember seeing it in the theater. I'm just like,
yeah, the concept was pretty crazy. Yeah. As a teenager, I was like, oh, man. And John Woo was in that. That was his hot period.
Yes.
Know? So, you know, he had come off, I think, just come off Broken Arrow. And Face Off is great.
Which is another good movie.
I have vague memories of Broken Arrow.
I saw that in the theater, too.
Me, too. That was in Travolta's resurgence.
Oh, yeah.
Period.
Yeah. Man, Pulp Fiction comes out. Next thing you know, you just got all these things.
Shorty.
Boom, 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 boom.
Yep.
Man, we should have a world of John Travolta someday. Because that's an interesting study, too.
Interesting.
Him and Bruce Willis. Just talk about two guys that really kind of came back. But so did he. I mean, you know, I was convinced after like 2010-ish, he was never going to
come back.
Yeah. It's like he's done. He's just going to be wallowing
in direct-to-video kind of stuff. Yeah, I thought that too.
But then you had a movie like, now I've not watched it, but I've heard good things. Joe was supposed to be really good. I have not seen Joe.
Too. Yeah, and I haven't seen
But I really think, I'm trying to think, Mandy came out before Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, right? Like, well before.
Yep.
You
know who the director of that was, right?
I do not.
Or, I should say, you know who that director's father is. Was the director of Tombstone.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Yeah.
Very good. Have you watched Mandy? Were you here with us when we watched Mandy, or was it? Man, that is.
It's wild. I wasn't sure what to expect from that, but and you get your cage rage.
You get your cage
heavy
rage.
Heavy dose of cage rage, but the colors. It's a really, really well done horror movie.
Yes. I think in probably 10 years, although I think it's already getting there, but I think it needs more time. It'll definitely be one of those cult followings. Movies where it's really good. I do have to ask you about this movie though. Have you seen Willy's Wonderland?
No, and I want to.
It's a trip.
You were here for that one. It's a trip. I did end up buying it on digital.
Now, did my friend tell me correctly that he doesn't speak the
does
whole movie?
Not say one word
the whole movie
right. And so we did not know that going in. We're sitting there and, you know, the premise, for those at home who are still listening, if you like Nick Cage, he's just a drifter. He's in this, you know, kick-ass car, and it breaks down or something, and sheriff comes by and arrests him and says, you know, you can either spend the night in jail or you can spend the night at Willy's Wonderland cleaning it up, and then we'll let you go. So he goes, takes the mop. And then Willy's Wonderland is a Chuck E. Cheese type place.
Like Five Nights at Freddy's.
But this came out first, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. This came out first. And simultaneously, you have these kids that have broken into Willy's Wonderland, you know, because there's rumors that there's something weird about it. Well, you find out that these animatronic things are possessed by the dead spirit of a serial killer, basically. And it was probably, when did we first notice? Like, it was like 20 minutes before one of us said, wait a minute, has he said anything yet? And we're like, I don't think so. And then it's like, he still hasn't said anything. And you're just sitting there waiting for the cage rage, and he just goes through and murders up these animatronic things, and
I want to see it.
So weird, but so good. I absolutely loved it. I thought it was great. It's one of those ones where you think, oh man, here he is. He's back doing this stuff, right? And then he does Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, and then he does, you know, it's almost like he's hit that age where you've got these younger people that want to work with him because they saw him when they, you know, when they were kids in the 90s, and it's just like, they just want to be able to say they worked with Nick Cage.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of it. But here he's hit this new stride again. Heck, he even had that series on Netflix, The History of Curse Words.
Oh, I didn't hear about that one.
Yeah. This was probably, we looked it up because I was convinced that it happened. So we had to look up, make sure I was right. I think it was from like 5 years ago. But yeah, he's just sitting there in his super dark dyed hair and dyed beard. And like the beginning of the show, he does a cage rage. And then he starts talking about curse words and the history of them. And then you've got comedians that like Sarah Silverman comes in and they're interviewing her about stuff. So he's just kind of like hosting it. It's very weird. But it's like, here, Nick. We'll say these words and we'll give you money.
Yeah. He's I noticed in a lot of these later movies too that he's often listed as, you know, a producer in some way of these films. Yeah. Like he's choosing these, you know, no one's forcing him to make these decisions and but even the ones that seem like direct to video type stuff, they're still pretty serviceable. Yeah. Like I told you in passing the other day that in preparation for this, I watched that one called Primal, where he plays a big game hunter that catches that white panther and puts it on a boat and is taking it back to wherever the hell he's taking it to sell it to a zoo or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just so happens that on the same boat that's taking all these animals that he's collected back, there's I can't remember what it is, but like the government is trying to bring back this crazy killer from somewhere.
Oh, of course.
And it happens to be on the same boat as all these animals.
Wow.
The premise was so ridiculous, I had to see it. Like, it is fun for what it is. And he clearly, what's fascinating about him is that he wins an Academy Award for playing, you know, drunk and does it like perfectly. But he knows when to dumb down. If he's in another role and the role requires him to act drunk, there was a moment or two in Primal where he has to act that way.
Mm-hmm.
He dumbs it down specific to that movie. In other words, he doesn't do his Leaving Las Vegas drunk in Primal. He does it's almost like had he done the Leaving Las Vegas drunk in Primal, it would have seemed out of place.
Yeah.
It would have been too real for this corny movie. So he does like a corny drunk. He tones down just that piece of it. Like the man knows what he's doing, I think, is the thing.
Well, and it's interesting you say that because I was watching an interview with the director of Long Legs. And he's sitting there going, man, I've been a big fan of Nick Cage's for a while.
Yeah.
And he comes in and he's working with the sound guy.
And I saw
it. Have you seen this interview? Yeah. Have you seen it? And he's sitting there talking about how Nick Cage comes in and he does it. And the sound guy goes, look at this. Because there's a point where if you get too loud,
it clips and you can't use it.
Can't use anything
above that line. And same at the bottom end.
Yeah. And Nick Cage was getting everything right to the line. Either way. And
when
the sound guy's like,
go big, it would go right up to the point where it would clip, but it wouldn't go over. And when he got quiet, it would go right down to the bottom, but wouldn't go over.
And he's like, I've never seen anything like that before. And it's like, he knows how to control that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've seen several interviews where, in special features and this and that for different movies, where they'll just be like, they'll do so many takes, and they're like, okay, go full Cage. And he just gets to just go nuts.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's the most amazing thing to watch that, because
in Long Legs, he is good. There are a couple of moments where he gets to do that. And that's worth seeing. I mean, if you can still catch it while it's in the theater on the big screen, you know, solid 3 stars for tension and the look of the film, and bonus points for getting to hear Nicolas Cage scream "Hail Satan" and then bash his face into a table. I mean, that is a thing that happens in that movie. It's good, and he's good in it. I don't even know how to assess his performance in it, because it's impossible to, like, you just have to see it.
Yeah.
I going through his filmography and then seeing Long Legs, I was kind of surprised that he never has played, of all the friggin' things he's played, he's never played, like, that kind of bad guy before. I don't want to give away kind of like what he is in the movie, but I was surprised to just kind of look back and think, no, he never really has played that kind of person before.
Yeah.
You'll see what I mean when you go see it.
Well, and until it came out, there was very little talk that he was actually
he was
in it.
Right. I didn't know he was in it until,
It was like right when it was getting released, all of a sudden you see him on the red carpet and you're like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah. I think that's to that film's credit. I think that was a good marketing strategy. Because, like we talked about at the very beginning, I think there are too many people who just hear Nicolas Cage and they won't go.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, oh, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be like this. They shouldn't do that.
No.
They should, because let me tell you.
Look, I don't like Ghost Rider, but I went and saw Ghost Rider. I didn't really care that much for Gone in 60 Seconds, but I went and saw it.
Yeah.
You know, like.
See, he's artsy. He likes the important stuff.
No, I love The Rock. The Rock is terrific.
What is the worst movie, Nick Cage movie you've watched, where you're just like, oh my God, I can't believe I just watched that? Is there even one? Is there one where you're like...
Where I just like, I absolutely hated it. Boy. Let me think on that. And I'll let you guys...
There's a couple for me.
Go ahead.
One was Drive Angry. We used to own that. That was... What's the Johnny Depp's ex is in that, right? Yeah.
Oh, Amber Heard.
Amber Heard. That one was a tough one. But let me tell you, in that stretch of the really bad stuff, that Left Behind movie was...
Yeah, I
didn't see it. That was... I didn't even finish it. And I usually will try to see things through. That was absolutely terrible. Why they even thought they needed to make a remake of Left Behind?
Yeah,
really?
Several versions of that.
Yeah. I just, oh my goodness, that was terrible.
The one that threw me when I was younger that I'm sure I know he's done worse movies in terms of their quality. It's unfair of me to pick on this movie, but where I was just severely disappointed in it was Guarding Tess. I don't know what I expected it to be. I don't know if they marketed it wrong. I feel like it was marketed as a comedy and was quite a downer in some respects.
Yeah.
I really didn't like Guarding Tess.
No.
And it's not fair for me to say that's the worst one because, you know, Shirley MacLaine was in that and all that stuff. But that was a big effing letdown when I saw it.
Especially at the time period that was. It's like, man, that shouldn't have been such a bad movie.
Yeah. So that might be my least favorite of the ones that I've seen.
Season of the Witch was pretty bad, though, too. I don't know that I'd say it was worse than... Drive Angry was just... I don't know. Something didn't sit right with that one.
Yeah, I didn't see Drive Angry.
I own on Blu-ray. I haven't watched yet. It was one of the other ones I wanted to watch before we did this, and that's Prisoners of the Ghostland. The premise just seems ridiculous. And then I always forget her name. So Sophia, she was the mummy in the Tom Cruise mummy.
Yeah.
She was in Atomic Blonde. Is it Buccella or Butella?
I know who you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah. She's in it too. It just seems like it's either going to be so off the wall, it's good, or it's going to be like, oh, why did I just do that? Which a lot of his movies, especially in a certain time frame, are like that.
I mean, and yet the National Treasure movies were
fantastic.
You know, very good. They were solid. They made money.
Yeah.
A lot in the case of the first one, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so he knows, he understands the assignment.
Yes.
Nearly every time.
Yeah. I actually have National Treasures in my top 10.
Did you have on there that you
hadn't mentioned? Let's see. I got Ghost Rider, Gone in 60 Seconds, Raising Arizona, National Treasure, Sorcerer's Apprentice, The Rock, Mandy, Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, City of Angels, and then I had Bringing Out the Dead and Renfield kind of tied.
In there, yeah.
My honorable mentions, I had Long Legs, even though I haven't watched it, but I've heard so many good things. I had Face Off as an honorable mention. And, you know, if you ask me 2 weeks from now, I might have Face Off in there. Willy's Wonderland, I had it shouldn't be that good. Same with Pig. I had Pig as an honorable mention. It probably should be up in there. Dream Scenario is really good. I think that's one that, as I rewatch it, I'll like it even more.
Mm-hmm.
It was so different. And then the way they shot it, and you know it's an A24 film, so but it almost had a grainy look to it. Like, it, you know, it wasn't high def. It looked like it was, you know, almost meant to be like a weird 80s, you know, horror movie. It just kind of had that feel where, by the look of it, and they did, and he just looked so darn goofy.
Pathetic.
Yes. Yeah. It was fantastic. I had Kick-Ass in there, too. I know he's not the star of that.
Yeah, I forgot he was in that.
But, I mean, that's such a good movie, and his part was good in that. He did that well.
Well, and it's even his kind of showing up in the Spider-Verse movies as the noir Spider-Man, like, again, understands the assignment, like, perfectly.
And he's going to have a series.
Is he?
Yeah. They announced they're going to do a Spider-Noir series.
Cool. I'm down.
Yeah. I mean, I don't love the Croods, but, you know, he did the Croods and what? Is there three of those?
I think there's only two.
Oh, is there only two?
I think so.
I forgot he was an Astro Boy until we were looking through.
Oh, yeah.
and then he was a voice in G-Force, too. The Dribble
the
movie.
Dribble movie.
So.
Yeah, I remember, and I remember feeling a little let down as well by Amos and Andrew, even though I think overall I did like it. I just, I don't know, little let down there.
Agreed.
But, you know, right after that he did Red Rock West. I mean, and that's really,
I've
really
got
to
watch
that.
Shocked that
you haven't seen it. Yeah, Kiss of Death.
Kiss of Death was, yeah. Oh, yeah, he did these two westerns back-to-back, too, that I really want to watch. Butcher's Crossing and The Old Way. Neither one of them get great ratings. They're like 5.5 and 5.6. But it's like...
I mean, but that's... If you were to go through and average these out, that tends to be where a lot of them land, in that 5-point-something area.
Prisoners of the Ghostland, 4.2.
4.2.
You know it's going to
be good.
Yeah. He went through this weird phase where he was doing like these almost samurai type movies, because he's got one called Jiu-Jitsu, and then what was the other one? Oh my gosh, I know there was at least, well, Prisoners of Ghostland, but there's another one. He did do voice work in Teen Titans Go to the Movies too.
Well, now when he's asked, when I've seen him be asked, I don't know if it was on, it was either on Kimmel or Fallon, what he thought his favorite Nicolas Cage movie is that he had done. The ones that I seem to remember him citing as like some of his favorites were the Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans.
That is a good movie.
He mentioned Leaving Las Vegas, but then he also said Mandy. So I remember him saying those specifically.
I did not see Bad Lieutenant when it was out. I caught it on HBO or Showtime or whatever when I was staying in a hotel, and I'm like, it's Nick Cage. There's nothing. There was no sports on or nothing I wanted to watch anyway. So I'm like, okay, I'll give it. I really enjoyed it. It was a good movie. I couldn't tell you a whole lot about it because, I mean, this was, you know, 8-9 years ago.
Right.
And I've not rewatched it since, but I was sitting there because I always thought it was just such a weird title. I'm like, what are we doing here? But it was actually really good. I was impressed. I don't know that I'd put in as top 10, not at least not for me, but it was definitely a lot better than what I was expecting.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth a watch.
The Frozen Ground was one that I had seen that I felt was a bit of a missed opportunity. That's the one with John Cusack.
How did you like Violence, a Love Story, or whatever?
Yeah, so...
Vengeance, a Love Story, sorry.
Yeah, so Vengeance, a Love Story, I liked it. I think the reason I chose that as one to watch is because when I was scrolling through it, I noticed that it was based on a Joyce Carol Oates novel.
Really?
Yes. The title of which is called Rape, a Love Story.
Oh.
So they changed, rightfully probably, for marketing purposes, changed it to Vengeance. The movie plays like an episode of Law and Order SVU if it was directed by, like, William Lustig, the guy that did the Maniac Cop movies and those kinds of things. It's very good on its chosen level. I think it there was a lot that it tried to do, and I don't think it got there on all of it. There were too many characters to try and... but it was way better than just... It's not your standard revenge flick. It's okay. called Vengeance, and you think it's just Nicolas Cage is going to be this cop who's just going around getting revenge on a system that failed him or somebody else, and it's not just that.
Mm-hmm.
It's way better than it has a reason to be, and Don Johnson plays.
When I saw, well, after you told me you did that, I watched the trailer, and I'm like, Don Johnson? Okay.
Yeah, so the premise of this film is that Nicolas Cage is a cop. He meets a woman in a bar, and they're both drinking. They chit-chat. She does most of the talking, and then she leaves the bar. They just have an hour or so together in this bar, and she leaves Nicolas Cage, and she goes home. A day or two later, she's with her daughter at a party, and she's maybe drinking too much, but she's still a responsible mom, and she's like, all right, it's time to go home. She takes her daughter home, and they walk home from this party, and on the way, walking home from this party, they cut through a place they shouldn't have cut through, and she ends up getting assaulted, and her daughter witnesses it. And they beat her, you know, nearly to death. Nicolas Cage, the daughter ends up kind of like getting out of there later once the assailants leave. The daughter is walking along a road, and Nicolas Cage and his cop partner happen upon the daughter. They find the mom, and, you know, what proceeds is, you know, she tries to identify the men in the town who raped her. The daughter helps try and identify them. But this group of men are connected enough in the town that they, you know, they're, a couple of them are related, and so their mother and their father like mortgage their house to put up all this money to pay for Don Johnson, the defense attorney, who it's basically this miscarriage of justice movie. And then Nicolas Cage kind of does some revenge stuff in the movie, but the movie is not primarily about that. It's more about the mother dealing with recovering from her trauma and how the daughter deals with that. And how the mother's mother, who's in the picture, so it's I can see the Joyce Carol Oates source material in there. It's a very good movie. You know, the look of it unfortunately has a bit of a direct-to-video feel.
Sure,
but they're really trying. Everybody in there is really trying their damnedest, and it is a good movie. Like I say, SVU mixed with, because there's some violence in there. Mm-hmm. You know, Nicolas Cage when he's taking his revenge. You know, there's definitely some bloody parts. He never goes Cage Rage in it, though. It's an understated kind of revenge.
Yeah. I was going to say, they didn't show anything in the trailer.
Yeah.
I did watch the trailer right after that. I watched a trailer for Mom and Dad, because then I saw that. I'm like, I think I remember hearing about this. Have you?
No,
Mom and Dad or Vengeance?
Mom and Dad.
Yeah.
And I remember, after started watching it, I'm like, I think I remember hearing something about this. So the parents... And I'm going off the trailer. Basically, all the parents in this town just start offing their kids.
Oh.
So the movie's about Nicolas Cage and Selma Blair are the parents in this one house, and it's about the kids kind of seeing that all the parents are murdering their kids. And so these two kids are having to avoid Nicolas Cage and crazy Linda Blair and crazy Nicolas Cage. Linda Blair does a great job, too, by the way. Linda Blair. So yeah, it's definitely worth a watch. Again, 5.6 when it's probably like a good solid 6.5,
yeah.
Close to 7.
It looked fun. I was watching the trailer and Sharon came up behind and she's like, "Well, that looks good." And I'm like, "Yeah, we'll have to watch that.
It's fun."
My goodness. I was just trying to go through some of these others.
But the premises of some of these looked so good, like I didn't have time to watch. I really wanted to watch The Retirement Plan. I do want to see that.
Yes.
I did want to see the ones that you know, Dream Scenario, and I really wanted to watch The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, because he does seem to be in this period where he's kind of in a bit of a resurgence. And,
yeah. Definitely watch Dream Scenario and Unbearable Weight. They're both very good.
I am surprised that you hadn't watched the Westerns yet.
So, I was going to buy The Old Way at a store one day, and they just wanted way too much money for Blu-ray. So I was going to get it on Vudu, but they haven't brought it down. It's like the cheapest they've had. It's been $9.99. I'm like,
So Jordan, what's your favorite Nick Cage movie?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not as in like well versed as you guys. I liked Ghost Rider. I mean, it's not a good movie, but I saw it when I was young enough that I was like, oh, cool, Ghost Rider.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Same thing with National Treasures. I was like, you know, because that one kind of became like a meme where it was like, stole the Declaration of Independence, and now they're like there's articles where it's like Nick Cage returns Skull to some museum, and they're like, I can't tell what's real and what's not. Right. So I don't know. I have to watch more. Willy's Wonderland was pretty good. I wouldn't put it as my favorite though. Yeah, I don't know.
It's unfair to shit talk Ghost Rider to a point, because there was a lot of anticipation. It's tough to remember back that far, but there was a lot of anticipation around Ghost Rider because it was in those early days of Marvel movies, and everyone was wondering, after the success of X-Men and Spider-Man, when are they going to do my favorite character? When are they going to do my favorite comic? And when it was announced Ghost Rider, there were a lot of people, and you were probably one of them, was like, how are they going to do Ghost Rider? Like, how are they going to do that effect?
Yes.
Who's going to be Ghost Rider?
Yes.
So there was a lot of anticipation around that, and I think that might be one of the reasons why it didn't live up to... There was some expectations there that it just didn't...
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And look, they probably could have done better by selecting a younger actor...
To play Blaze?
To play Blaze and actually do a true origin story instead of glossing over, 20 years of whatever. Because, that... But, that's what we do in movies, right? They wanted to have a name attached to it.
Yeah.
And at the time, Eva Mendes, she was popular.
Yeah, yep.
And, I still love it. You got Sam Elliott. Come on.
Yeah, he was cool with this.
Yeah, Peter Fonda.
I was going to say one of the Fondas.
Peter Fonda's in it. And then, what's the Mesitophiles, the actor who played him? Wasn't he in American Beauty? No, maybe not. Oh, I'm gonna have to look that up. I totally forgot about Matchstick Men.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that one. Yeah, and Sam Rockwell.
Yeah,
he did that right after Adaptation.
Yeah, there were a ton of, like, in that period, that 92 to 02, there was a handful of in there that I would classify as just like, didn't mind them. Like, Captain Corelli's Mandolin, not bad. The Family Man, not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had the Weatherman 2, I think, was in there.
Oh, I liked the Weatherman. That was a good one.
I don't think I ever saw the Weatherman.
Yeah, it was good. Next was in there. Next. Next and Knowing.
Yeah. Because those are just kind of similar.
Yes.
Now, did you see the one, I haven't seen it, but what's the name of the one that he's in with Nicole Kidman?
Trespass.
Did you see it?
Yes. Once.
Is it any good?
It was all right. Okay. It was all right.
I felt like with those two, like...
It was okay. It wasn't... Sorry, I'm trying to get this kid's name. Wes Bentley. There we go.
Oh, yeah.
He played Blackheart. Yeah. I don't know that he was the guy in... Yeah, he was in American Beauty. There we go.
Yeah.
Hunger Games and Interstellar, too. Well.
Wow.
Oh.
He was good in American Beauty.
He's in Yellowstone too. I've never seen an episode. He's one of the sons.
I am pretty sure that he shows up in a couple episodes of American Horror Story.
Oh,
and he's really Wes Bentley, not Nicolas Cage. No. And he's pretty good. The character he plays in there is really good.
Interesting.
Now I want to put you on the spot. I thought this would be fun. All right, so he's been in what feels like, 500 movies, even though it's only 120. You familiar with the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon game?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. So I want to see if you're able. I want to see if you can do this. 6 degrees of Nicolas Cage with John Wayne.
With John Wayne.
Since that's your favorite, I figured that would be a... There are probably many different ways to skin this cat. I only just came up with one on the drive over here, but I just want to see if you're able to do it.
Nicolas Cage and Peter Fonda and Ghost Rider. Peter Fonda... and Dennis Hopper in Easy Rider, and John Wayne and Dennis Hopper in Sons of Katie Elder.
That is a way to get there. Dennis Hopper was also in Red Rock West with Nicolas Cage.
Oh, there we go.
I didn't even think about that.
Oh, geez, that's even faster.
the fastest one I was able to come up with just on the drive over here, again, was anytime you can't connect two actors, just look for John Carradine. Okay. Because Carradine was in literally like 500 movies.
Yes.
I believe that he was in Peggy Sue Got Married with Nicolas Cage, and then he was in Stagecoach with John Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a pretty
He was in The Shootist with John Wayne, and
I'm sure he was probably in a dozen westerns.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Very
you got
good.
It quicker than I thought you would get there.
Yeah, I was sitting there going, it's got to be Peter Fonda, but yeah, I forgot.
That was my first thought too, because I went to Ghost Rider.
And again, and I haven't watched Red Rock West, but I knew that Dennis Hopper was in it because once I was reading it, I saw he was in there. I should have.
He's really good in it. Dennis Hopper is.
Yeah,
he gets to have the most fun. Dwight Yoakam has a cameo in it where he really gets to have some fun too. Yeah, I'm. That needs. I think you and Sharon need to watch Red Rock West tonight.
I will look that up. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
J.T. Walsh is in that too. It was one of the last. I don't want to. No, he probably made a few more movies before he died. Maybe that was the last one he made before he died.
No, because he was in Breakdown.
He was in Breakdown, and then I feel like he was also in that movie with Kevin Spacey and Samuel L. Jackson, where the hostage negotiator movie, The Negotiator.
That was. Who did you say, Samuel L. Jackson and who?
And Kevin Spacey.
Spacey. I thought you said Bacon, and I'm like, whoa,
nope.
Wait a minute. Wait.
Nope.
Yeah. Darn, I thought I had him.
You gotta be quicker than that.
Yeah. You could connect Nicolas Cage to so many people. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Like, I only chose John Wayne because I knew he was your guy, but you could probably go an older... You could go with an older actor. And probably,
especially...
Probably still get Nicolas Cage there.
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, especially with John Carradine. I mean...
Yeah.
Christ, he was making movies back in the 30s.
Yes.
So, I mean... Good Lord, yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun.
I know. You're going to go do that now after...
Yeah,
movie.
Yeah. It's the next party game.
Yeah.
Get ready. We have to do this before D&D now.
Okay.
We have to play...
Every week.
Every week. Can't start the campaign until you connect Nick Cage. Or you lose 2 hit points.
Yeah, and I wasn't sure, you know, I was like, is the path going to be through a director? Because he's worked with a bunch of directors who've been working a long time. You know,
yeah.
I thought of Scorsese, but then I stumbled upon a couple of Westerns. I think that's how I got it. I was like, there's got to be some Western connection here, even though Nick himself has not been in any Westerns. You know, so I saw Fonda, and then, but I don't know why I didn't get that far. I think it because I stumbled and realized that I thought only Henry Fonda had been in something with John Wayne, and I kind
Correct.
Of lost the connection.
Yeah.
I couldn't get there.
Yeah, you got to use the Dennis Hopper with Fonda.
I can't believe I didn't even think of Easy Rider there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Dennis Hopper's actually been in a couple of John Wayne movies.
Has he?
I'm pretty sure. Definitely Sons of Katie Elder, but I thought there was another one. Although I may be thinking of someone else that's played a couple of bit parts in a couple of those movies. But yeah,
he didn't know I was going to ask him that, and he still got there.
Got it. Well, you
in like less
this.
Than a minute.
You can't stump this man when it comes to John Wayne.
I know. I should have known better.
That's his superpower. So speaking of superpowers, because we're about at an hour, but I just wanted to say that I will always. I know we got a glimpse of it, but I will always wonder what could have been if you
Superman.
Played Superman.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Correct. I'm glad you brought that up.
I always wonder about that because, you know, people didn't think Michael Keaton could do Batman.
Mm-hmm. I wish we could have seen that. I think it would have been interesting.
Take solace in knowing that somewhere in the multiverse it did happen.
It did happen somewhere.
And what's out there? Something out there. Is it the screen test footage? There's like...
Yeah.
There's
some screen test footage of it. Yeah.
I don't know, though. Would that have...
No, I'd probably not, but...
Would that have worked? I mean, Christopher Reeve kind of, you know, nailed that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's too soon, maybe.
Yeah. How long was that after Christopher Reeve? It wasn't very long.
It wasn't very long, no.
Maybe like 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah, what could have been.
Oh, well, no, it would have been less than 10 years because there's 3 sequels
to
Superman.
True.
So.
Yeah.
And then there was like a Supergirl or something.
Yeah,
Supergirl. Helen Slater, yeah.
What
not good.
What could
not
have
good.
Been?
Not good. Oh, my gosh. Is there, since we're running out of time, is there anything... No. Sorry, my research assistant was trying to play the game too.
Trying to play
the
game,
and she was trying to use Shirley MacLaine, but that's Eastwood. She was in Two Mules for Sister Sarah with Clint Eastwood.
Oh, okay.
But you could probably still use, man. You can still use Shirley MacLaine.
Well, yeah, I forgot. I mean, she was in Guarding, wasn't she in Guarding Tess?
Yeah.
So Nicolas Cage, yeah.
And you know what? He had that... God, I'm getting off track. But he was in Fast Times. Wasn't Ray Walston in that?
Yeah. Wait. I think so.
Oh, because I bet we could use him. It won't be super fast, but he would...
Yeah, that's what I said. There's probably 20 ways to get there.
Oh, absolutely. Ray... was... because I'm pretty sure, wasn't he the principal? Yeah, he was Mr. Hand.
Yeah, good call. Good call, Reed.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah. So it'd be Nicolas Cage with Ray Walston in Fast Time, Ray Walston and Lee Marvin in Paint Your Wagon, and then Lee Marvin and Comancheros with John Wayne. Or Lee Marvin and John Wayne and The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. Gotta get Lee Van Cleef in there too. Oh, we're gonna have fun with this. Yeah,
John Wayne, the Leonardo da Vinci, Mr. Smart Guy, Mr. Super Fan.
Don't try him.
You can connect him to Strother Martin, Dean Martin. Oh boy, here we go. Anywho, what hasn't he tackled? What genre or what type of role hasn't he tackled that you think he could go for?
Well, he's done horror, he's done comedy. I'm sorry, were any of the... Well, I guess Face Off is very much... has got a sci-fi kind of thing going there.
Yeah.
He's
kind of done... I mean, he did rom... Well, City of Angels isn't a rom-com. But...
Peggy, it's a drama. But what was the... Didn't he do... what was the thing with Bridget Fonda where they won the lottery?
It Could Happen to You.
Was that a romantic comedy?
Yeah,
remember.
I'd say so.
Honeymoon in Vegas is definitely a romantic comedy.
I was sitting there trying to think, you know what? I mean, I guess he hasn't really done a period piece, like a historical drama type thing.
Captain Corelli's Mandolin.
Oh, man. What about Shakespeare? Is that the only thing that's left then?
Yeah.
Done Shakespeare?
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to really... He hasn't done like an erotic thriller.
He's just done about everything. He really has.
Yeah, he's covered them all. His role in Long Legs was one that I don't think, unless I'm missing something, when you see it, I'm curious to know what you think. He's not done that before. And he has since said, I think I read some interview that said that he's probably not going to do that again. Like he wanted to do one once.
Yeah.
Something about, I'm going to be completely misquoting him, but it was something like, I didn't want to play anyone that dark, you know, or that, you know, bad.
Yeah.
Bad, I think, is more like what he used, because dark, he's done plenty of dark
stuff. Done plenty of dark, Interesting.
I don't know. Nicolas Cage.
What is your final word for those who don't like or understand Nicolas Cage?
What movie would you suggest to them?
Yeah.
Someone who tells you, I can't stand Nicolas Cage, and you say, watch this.
I'd probably tell him to watch Pig. I mean, for a recent movie, I would tell him to watch Pig. Because I have a feeling that most people who don't like him because of his eccentricities. Right? And his weirdness.
Yeah.
There's nothing particularly weird about Pig.
No.
I mean...
You're right.
So I might suggest that one, or...
That's probably a good choice.
You know, if it was a person that I know is susceptible to, you know, laughter, I might send him the Honeymoon in Vegas route, but...
Yeah, because I was thinking Raising Arizona had come to my mind, especially if it's a younger person and maybe they don't know, because you've got some comedy... He doesn't do his rage, you know, he's just, and you got John Goodman, and you got, Holly Hunter. You've got a lot of great, Randall Tex Cobb plays a great bad guy in that. And then you got some heartfelt stuff in there, too. To me, that's less like... I think most people who don't like Nicolas Cage, they think of the Nicolas Cage that you've probably seen from, you know, The Rock or Face Off to, you know, the 2010s, and they're just like, oh, he's just this weird dude who, you know, and he is, but I mean, he's done some really good stuff, and the dude can act. I mean, but I just think he also likes to act so much, or the craft, as I've heard him call it, you know, he just loves doing the craft so much that he really just will do anything and everything. I would love to know if he's ever turned anything down. Like, is there a role where he's like, no.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, that's a good question. You almost have to hand that person like a national treasure or a pig, something where...
National treasure would be a good one. Yeah. Pig. I don't know that I would... Yeah. Anything else...
You know, if they're an action person, you got to kind of give them Gone in 60 Seconds. You would have to probably meet that person where they are.
What do you love?
It's almost like getting somebody to read comics or...
Yeah, exactly.
You have to figure out what they like.
If they're an action fan, then I would say you got to watch The Rock or you watch Face Off.
Right.
You watch those two, and he's not...
No, I mean...
He's not... I mean, Face Off, he's a little... But he's playing John Travolta's character, so he's not as...
Yeah, I'd give him The Rock probably first.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, you're not asking that viewer to do, you know, to accept anything too hard. You know, he's playing a perfect foil for Sean Connery's character, and he's a pretty straightforward dude.
Yeah.
Face Off is a little more out there. I like it better.
Yes.
But if I'm just trying to get somebody on the Nicolas Cage train, I don't know if... Yeah. Now, if they like horror...
Oh, you gotta watch Mandy.
Mandy.
You got to. Jeez.
That's so good. Surprisingly good.
Yeah.
And I didn't... You know, I think Joe Bob Briggs showed it on Last Drive-In. And I wasn't, like, thrilled when I heard he was showing it, because I was like, oh, man, I've heard this is kind of, like, super bloody, and I don't know if this is what I want to watch tonight. But it was great. The look of it, and just... The over-the-top blood, you know, it's almost a splatter flick.
Yeah.
But it's still so good.
It is.
And it's like just a movie about loss. And and that final shot of just him in the car, and it's just...
Yeah.
I think they're telling us he's clearly gone crazy at that point.
Yeah.
And that's a great movie. Anyone who hasn't seen Mandy, you should see Mandy.
Mandy.
You can stomach a little bit of blood.
Yes. It is gory. It is gory. But it is good. It is good. I don't know that we've converted anyone, but
there's only one way to find out, and that's to ask the people.
Absolutely.
Tell us what you think about Nicolas Cage.
If you've changed your mind, or if you're a convert, or...
Have we convinced you to at least watch something?
I think it's fair to say there's something for everyone.
He's done so much. My gosh.
It's like when people tell me they hate Bob Dylan. I'm like, the man's made like 60 albums. You can't find one song
Exactly. Yeah. Lay, Lady, Lay. My favorite Bob Dylan song.
There we go.
And I'm not a huge Bob Dylan fan. Well, unless we're counting his Traveling Wilbury stuff, then I'll pick all of that. And then Lay, Lady, Lay.
Right.
But, yeah. Let us know what your favorite Nick Cage movie is, if you're a Nick Cage fan.
And if you're not, tell me why.
Yeah,
tell us why.
And then, what kind of movies do you like? And we'll try to find one.
Yeah, you give us the genre.
We can tailor a recommendation.
And then we'll get back to you and say, watch this.
Okay.
And then that's your homework.
Okay.
Tell us who your favorite actor is, too. That might need us. That'll give us some
breadcrumbs. Absolutely.
There we go.
Yeah.
Give us some breadcrumbs.
Give us as much information as you can, and we'll...
Including your mother's maiden name, the street you grew up on, and your first pet's name, and then we should be good.
Guys, thank you for having me back.
Thanks
for joining us again. This was great. I think it's official. He's our movie guru.
Yeah, we're gonna have to have him back when we do more movies.
Yep, absolutely.
Love talking movies. Awesome.
All right. Well, thank you so much, guys. Hopefully, we didn't bore you too much with our fanboy Nick Cage episode, but I love him, so that's all that matters.
That's right.
And I hope you love what you love. All right, guys, stay nerdy.